Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
On this edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad, presented by Kia, Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, David Steele, and Jeff Turner sit down to recap what was a very, very busy day, a franchise-changing day for the Orlando Magic at the NBA trade deadline. Orlando moving Nick Vucevic, Evan Fournier, and Aaron Gordon, three mainstays for this Orlando Magic organization for 7 years for two of them and 9 years for Nick Vucevic. We sit down to give our initial thoughts, our initial reaction, and then what it looks like for this Orlando Magic organization moving forward as we preview some of the new guys coming in to this Orlando Magic roster and what the final 26-27 games of the season might look like for the Orlando Magic, which we think we'll see a lot of fight out of this young group as they close out this season. And it's all about opportunity for some of these new guys. But certainly we will get into what Nick Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, and Evan Fournier have meant to the Orlando Magic organization and what their legacy will be moving forward. So much to get into, lots of insight for Magic fans on this edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad presented by Kia.
Carter Williams on the attack. Bouncing off defenders, missed the shot, but it's tipped in by Okiki and a whistle. Into the lane, floats it short, rebounded by Porter. And there's Rivers, Hampton ahead, lays it in. Boy, he's fast, isn't he? R.J. Hampton.
We're hand-to-hand very quickly. Nice lead pass from Otto Porter.
Man attacking, putting it up, rejected. Wendell Carter Jr. again.
Three-point game. Otto Porter Jr. rising for three.
He drills it with 0.4 seconds left.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. This podcast is brought to you by Kia, official vehicle of the Orlando Magic. Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, David Steele, Jeff Turner, and lots to get to. Got a lot of tweets and a lot of emails and a lot of text messages saying we need an emergency podcast from Pod Squad to get everybody caught up. David Steele, Jeff Turner, the pulse of the Magic fan. So we got to have everybody weigh in. A busy trade deadline, as we know, so a lot to get to as far as that. We'll preview the new guys that are coming in. They all made their debuts last night. But, guys, I find it very entertaining that George Galante is out in Venice Beach, right, Marina Del Rey, walking that scary gauntlet down there by himself.
Alone.
It's a completely different. The first time I ever did it was with David Steele, and I was terrified. I had never seen anything like that in my life. And now you're walking down there all by yourself. That's got to be strange.
Well, I was texting you guys just so there was record of where I was at the time. I was afraid. It got a little dicey. It was nice to get out because I just feel like I've been trapped in hotels, on the road all season long. And I just decided, we're staying in Marina Del Rey, which we haven't done in so many years, coming out to LA. And it's just, you guys know it's a 10-minute walk to the beach, if that. And then I just kept walking and it was nice. It was just a beautiful day. The scenery at Venice Beach was a little sketchy at times, but then broke into Santa Monica borderline and everything was great.
Everything was fine.
And so it was nice. That part was nice.
I'm just glad you got your curtain drawn, because you'd make us jealous if the curtain were open and we could see that shot of Marina Del Rey and all the boats out in the water. It's got to be a beautiful day there, huh?
It is a nice day. Yeah, I'm a little bummed that we scheduled the pod squad for noon Pacific time, but that's okay. I'm gonna get out here.
The sun's too hot right now. You don't want to be out there. That's right. You don't want to be out there right now. You have plenty of time to get out there. And plus, trust me, you want to go to Venice Beach at night. You want to walk down there around 8 or 9 tonight. I think that would be the best thing.
Yeah, breakfast.
Did you get breakfast at Joni's or?
No.
I guess it's still open. Hopefully it is.
I walked past it yesterday. I think it is still open. It might not be called Joni's anymore though, guys. When I go for my walk later, I'll snap a picture and I'll send it to you guys. And you can tell me if I'm at the, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong place. I think I got the right place on the main. So
Jeff, can you let everybody know David's favorite guy that was there at Joni's? I think.
George, you'll be able to know you're in the right place if you walk in and there's a guy, I don't know, Dante, what is maybe a little older than David. He'll have a baseball cap on, big white letters. Don't bother me. That's David's guy. He's probably some big film producer, isn't he, David?
I think he might be. I snapped a surreptitious photograph of him one time, which lives forever on our text messages.
The best part was Dante said it finally took a pandemic for those people to leave him alone. He finally got his wish.
How happy is that guy? He's not been bothered for a year.
Thrilled.
Drinking his coffee with his head down with that hat on.
My goodness.
Don't bother me.
Well, that's fantastic. But that's one of the many things that you'll see on the road. And I think we'll go back to trade deadline day here. So this is on a Monday, right? The trade deadline was on Thursday. We've had a couple of days to kind of process everything and see where we're at. We were going to do one last week, but nothing had been finalized. So now we know the moving parts and everything with it. And I think, I want to get your thoughts, David and Jeff, for sure. But, George is the one that's going to hear about these before they happen, right? So, we're thinking probably a really good chance. We know about Aaron Gordon's trade request. Probably a really good chance that was going to be accommodated. You look at Evan's contract and you think, maybe that'd be done. You didn't know what was going to happen. But I didn't think Vooch. I didn't think that was going to happen at all. But George, you must have caught wind of that before it all went down and must have had an inclination that it was going to happen. And that must have been strange.
The funny thing, well, it's not funny now that I think about it. I saw Vooch just before they announced the starting lineups on who did we play last at home before the Phoenix game. And I saw him just before they were getting ready to do the starting lineups and the anthem. And he gave me a high five and he goes, well, this might be my last game in a Magic uniform. And I told him, I'm pretty sure I cursed at him and said, get the hell out of here. Like, go beat the Suns or whatever. And then we play the game and the locker room afterwards, it was weird because everybody knew that this would be the last time that group would be together. I don't think everybody knew to the extent of what ended up happening, but you could feel in the locker room, there was a lot of high fives and, bro hugs and just like, whatever happens, hopefully we see, and it was weird because, we were going to have a game in 48 hours again, whether it was with that group or parts of that group or whatever else. And, and like you said, we kind of had an inclination of possibly Evan and Aaron maybe heading out. Right. And again, but you're never sure because we've heard their names bantered about for 6 years, to be honest. There's every trade deadline comes by. It's always Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, and even Vooch to a certain degree. But then when I got the call, it was very early in the morning. We didn't know anything that night. They were still obviously Jeff Weltman and John Hammond and Matt Lloyd and everybody upstairs was working, the whole week, all year really, but really obviously it gets up to the deadline and those guys are working. And we didn't know anything that night at all. We had no inclination of anything that was going to happen. But then I got up very early to go, take my daily COVID test. And I was driving back home And it was before 7:30 a.m. And I got the call that said, all right, well, here are the deals. And it definitely I had to stop the car for a second because I was driving and I had the car and I, wait, what? Said, just tell me the last one again. And it was like, well, we're trading Vooch to Chicago for Wendell Carter and Otto Porter and two firsts. And that one hit me a little harder just because, like you said, you didn't really expect that to happen. I thought it was a possibility we do have to take an honest look at ourselves, I think, and realize where we are. This season has been a tough one from the start. And I think this was their way to just to make a reset and to just decide, listen, this is the direction we're going to go. And the next thing you know, those three guys that have been with us for so long are now on other teams.
How did you guys take it? When did you guys start hearing about it? And what were your initial reactions to it?
Jeff, when did you first hear about it? I think we were probably texting back and forth, texting each other that afternoon when the news started breaking. I guess Woj broke it on social media. And, that's when we started communicating with each other. But it caught me by surprise, too, as far as the Vucevic piece of it. The other two, we had kind of figured and heard that was likely going to happen because of the contract situation with Evan and the salary cap implications going down the road for him and Aaron in a perfect contract situation to make a deal. And you've got some roster redundancy with Aaron Gordon, too, with, some players that are like Jonathan Isaac is looking like a four going forward. Chumo Kiki can play that position. So those didn't surprise me at all. But the Vucevic piece, it did catch me by surprise.
Yeah, as you guys know, I'm not a big social media guy. So my social media was really the text thread where, I think it starts with Dante saying, here we go.
That's how it usually starts, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like,
then you start trying to figure out what he's talking about.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So then, you log on to ESPN to see if there's any news.
Wait, I guess I should start with the news, not just a blanket statement.
I'm just glad that you guys experienced the same type of text conversation. Like sometimes I'll have one-on-one text conversations and he goes, well, that's something. And I'm just dude, I have no freaking idea what you're talking about right now because I'm not on Twitter or I'm not on.
Good point.
The thing is, it could be anything.
Get hit by a car? What's happening? Like, I don't.
it could range anything from we won't get bottles of water at the game tonight for our broadcast to it's the end of the world is imminent. So anything in between is possible.
All right, I'm going to start. That's good to know. That's good. This is good feedback. Just a blanket statement doesn't do anybody any good. I got to have some information.
I don't know what oh crap means. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't have any idea what it means.
So you had to start digging then. You were like, what the heck is happening?
Well, it takes me 30 minutes to figure out what he's talking about.
Till it's like, here we go. And then I think the next bubble pops up. Vooch, and it's like, what?
I know, right. Yeah, you got to be kidding me. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Because that really, in the order, that was the first one that went down. And so, you figure, wow. So then I start digging and, obviously, the thing is because we've all been here with those guys, right? And so, it doesn't matter. We develop personal relationships with these guys. George is probably a lot closer to the guys than we are. I'd say Dante is as well. But still, covering them every night, getting to interview them, talk to them, they're part of our little family, when we're all, together and traveling and everything. So I think your first reaction is no, right?
Right.
You can't do this, right? We've come so far together, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
The thing. We've come this far together. But then you process this, and I think George laid it out. You got to look at where we are. I'm still a believer that Vooch would be a good piece going forward. I mean, you know, an all-star who I think has a lot of years, very good basketball in him. But, you know, you listen to Jeff lay out everything. We're not privy to the phone calls, you know, that he's taken all year round about what guys value, you know, those kind of things, values, and, you know, what you're up against, you know, up against the cap and, you know, your assets and things like that. But I just always go back to, you know, Vooch has made two all-star teams, and it wasn't because he was voted in by the fans. You know, those guys at the end, the reason they're on there, the last reserves, are because coaches picked them. And yeah, right. I think that says a lot to me, you know, from an all-star standpoint. That would be the best, the most respect I think I could get as a player, is that the opposing coaches that I play shoot up against night and night think I'm worthy of this. So, you know, there's just feels like that's a piece that there's value, but, you know, obviously there is value. We got two first round picks and two pretty good players out of it.
You know, the thing is that they being Weltman Hammond, they have so much more information than we have. Like you said, Jeff, right, you know, right. we're like a lot of fans, you know, yeah. I mean, we really are. We look at it and we think, oh, you got a two-time all-star and you can build around that and keep it going. But there are, you know, how many other factors that you and I aren't privy to and we don't have any idea about. So, you know, that's where I think we have to step back and just say, you know, and when you look at it, I've read a lot since the trades, and it's almost universally viewed as a brilliant move, as a good move for the Magic by the front office. So those are people who are not, you know, they're not emotionally attached like we are.
Right.
And most of the people that I have a lot of respect for in the business have said that. And, you know, I had a text exchange with John Gabriel too. And on the day that it happened, because I was trying to kind of put it into Magic historical perspective with the fact that we had blown up, you know, a good roster once before in 1999. And I remember thinking, I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not. That turned out to be a pretty good plan by John Gabriel. You know, this plan is different than that plan, but there are a lot of similarities. And, you know, Gabe was very positive about what they had accomplished in all of the trades. And he was very, not pretty, he was very positive about it and felt like they had done the right thing and made good deals. And, you know, he said in the text, it's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of, you know, a lot of courage to do it, but he felt good about it. So, you know, that's where we are. And so we move forward.
And let me just say this. I don't want to imply, you know, certainly Jeff and John have great relationships, personal relationship with these right. guys too. They're close.
Right, right.
And so to David's point, this is not easy for them as well. You know, our job is to, you know, come in on the team and, you know, try to, you know, bring the games, make them entertaining and doing those kind of things. Their job is to look at the long, you know, the view from 30,000 feet and look at this team and where it's going. And they have to make those tough decisions. And I'm with David. You know, I've done the same thing, read, you know, John Gabriel is somebody I trust. You know, I've known for a long time, really trust his judgment as well. And just getting to know Jeff and John, you know, I think they made the best move looking from above. You know, I don't know, like, I don't know how David feels or anything like that. You guys, you know, I think you guys know, but I'm an Orlando Magic guy, right? You know, it's us against the world to me, right? And, you know, I have, you know, I'm not a national broadcaster. I'm a Magic broadcaster. And so part of that is I'm a fan, right?
Right, exactly.
So it hits me just like, you know, any fan on the street. You know, so it's just, you know, you go through all the emotions, right? It's just part of it. But, you know, stepping back and now and looking at it, you can see, okay. And now we've got, you know, we've got a game, you know, behind us, with the, you know, with the guys, and we're seeing, okay, yeah. You know, and you've actually studied a little bit about what they've done, what their strengths and weaknesses are and everything. So it's like, okay, it doesn't take long, right? It doesn't take long. We move on, and now we're excited about the future because we're Magic fans, right?
That's right. That's right. And we accept it, and that's the decision that was made, and we trust the people making the decisions, and you move forward. But one last thing, and then we'll look at the new guys, because I do think it was a great haul for what they got, and there's a lot to be excited about. But, you know, fans and George Vooch would show us the text messages and the tweets and all the messages from fans. If he had a bad game, oh, we got to blow up this team. We got to trade these guys. His fans love trades, right? We got to make trades. Well, then you started to see Evan, right? The night before the trade deadline, he had a 2-minute comment and he was emotional and he was breaking down. And then you saw Nick Vucevic just rip the hearts out of all of us. With his comments with the Chicago Bulls, a question asked by Josh Robbins, which we've all seen. I watched it 46 times, but everybody's seen it different times. But there's this human element to it. And I think if nothing else, hopefully fans realize that these are human beings. And these are good guys. These are good people that gave it their best every single night. Yeah, was it always perfect? No. Did we have a lot of bad seasons? Yes. But these were guys that wanted to be here, that did everything they could the right way. It didn't work, so we go with a different direction now, but there's that human element to this that hopefully people will realize.
Before I get into that a little bit, just think about all of the times that we've seen on social media over the last 7-8 years about how much Evan Fournier sucks, Nick Vucevic sucks, Aaron, they all suck and they all need to go, right? I mean, we heard and saw that so many times. And then all of a sudden when the deals happen, it's like, well, what are you guys doing? You know, there's really no,
right.
There's no, Joel Glass likes to say, you can't please everyone, right? Like 25, if I walked down the street and gave somebody $100, you know, 25% of the people would say I'm giving them too much, and 20, whatever, whatever the saying is, a third says you're giving them too much, and a third says you're not enough. And then it's that third in the middle that you're trying to sway. Right. And it just,
which just goes to show, guys, Joel's analogy still has not resonated with you.
I can never get the numbers right. Like a third.
I know what you mean, and then
you watch Evan. Like, let's turn to Evan for a lap. You know, take Evan, the way he approached this thing for the 72 hours leading up to the trade deadline. You know, and this is a guy that probably knew he was going to go.
Yep, right.
He knew in his heart that, listen, this is the end of the line for me and he's going to go. That guy played his butt off until the very last, literally the very last seconds of the very last game of his Magic career, had nothing but good things to say when, you know, we put him in on TV with you guys for the post game show because he hit the big shot to win the game against Phoenix. We put him in front of the media, you know, that night as well. And, you know, this guy cared about Orlando just as much as Nick Vucevic cared about. I mean, both of those guys, when you think about it, they got here and they were 20-year-old, 21-year-old, 23-year-old kids. And they left here with wives, children, family, connections. And then it all just kind of, it just disappears. Like it's gone in a flash. And it's real. When you step back and look at it like that, as opposed to looking at it like a FanDuel lineup.
Exactly. The human element.
Really, it's correct. Really gut wrenching. It really is hard for these guys. And it's especially hard for guys like that, like Vooch and Evan and even Aaron to a certain degree, although Aaron like doesn't have a wife, doesn't have children, but these guys are rooted here. These guys grew up here. These guys, think about where you were when you were 21 and then where you were when you were 30.
Yeah, right.
That's what's happened to Nick Vucevic. It's you go through these stages of life and then all of a sudden, I mean, my wife, you guys know, you know, she's a Magic fan because she loves me and loves us and loves what we do, right?
Right.
She doesn't know, you know, like I get home, she's like, did you win or you lose? I'm like, we lost. She's like, okay,
sure.
Oh, did you win or you lose? Yeah, we won. Oh, okay. Like, you know, she's not that, but when she sees things like this, like we had a whole 15-minute conversation about how she's like, boy, I really just, that's really not fair. You know, it just, these guys get their lives up. You know, she's looking at it as the person, whereas most fans don't look at it this way. They don't look at it as this is a human being that's getting his life uprooted in 24 hours. You know, there's so much.
I remember being a kid, and, you know, the Boston Celtics would make a trade and you'd cry, you know, because you get attached to those guys. My 7-year-old daughter and my 6-year-old daughter, I had to tell them, and I got a video, and I'll have to release it. But, you know, I just put the camera on because I wanted to document it for them when they're older. They cried. They broke down and cried. Nick Vucevic was their favorite player. If you're selling this team at all the last 9 years, you're selling it around Nick Vucevic. And not to say that they didn't love the other guys, but, you know, they had to go to school one day, and you could pick any letter in the alphabet, and you had to have something to represent it. And they went to school with a V and a picture of Nick Vucevic waving. I mean, they loved the guy. And I think to you guys' point, you know, I mean, you guys, but you had daughters and sons that were attached to Shaq and Penny, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it's tough. It's tough all the way around. And I don't think Aaron Gordon's not going to come out good in this whole thing, right? And it's because he wanted to be traded, and then he made some comments, which I don't think were ill-advised. I think they were taken out of context, right? I think Aaron Gordon loved this time here. I truly do. I think he loved it. I think he loved the people here, and I think he did the most that he could. I really do. I think it just ultimately he felt it was time to go on, and you know, that was the direction that, you know, that they're moving on with. But I don't think he should get slighted. But I think, George, you could speak more to this than we all can. But for example, Dwight, when Dwight realized he was Dwight Howard, well, then he started making the media wait. We had to wait for him to shower. We had to wait for him to get dressed. We had to wait for him to put his earrings in. We had to wait for him to make his phone calls. We had to wait for all of that stuff.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Dante's letting it all out now, by the way. He's had this pent up for
10 years. Aaron Gordon, Nick Vucevic, and Evan Fournier never did that. You know, now listen, they weren't taking us to the finals, so I understand that. They weren't, you know, whatever, 8-time All-Stars, but they treated us as people. Not that Dwight didn't, but, you know, as soon as the game was over, that raw emotion, right to the interview. They faced the music immediately every single time. And there's something to be said for that. You have utmost respect for that. You know, for the way that was handled, in my opinion.
I think so too. They were all pros. They did their job.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're talking about Aaron. He's in a different place than, you know, as a person. He's 25.
Sure.
He's not 30. He's not married. He doesn't have children.
Right.
He's a 2-time dunk. Should have been winner and scorned you know, runner up. And I think he feels like he's got a lot of things to prove. And you know, so now he's going to go set the world on fire. And, you know, I think that's what he's doing to me is just human nature for where he is in life. He's a good guy. We wish him well, but he's not in the same place that Evan and Vucevic were. And, you know, it's funny, the people that like you said, George, that were, you know, calling for all of them to be gone for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And then when it actually happened, I think that's the moment that a lot of people realize for the first time that these are human beings.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
when
they really start thinking about it and they see the videos like Vucevic posted and You think about how Evan handled his final days in Orlando. And I think, you know, there's probably a little remorse, perhaps by a lot of fans for what they've said and done.
Now there's fans thinking we need to retire number nine tomorrow. Think about that. This is a guy.
I love it.
You went on social media. I mean, we see it every day. It's like, that guy stinks. You need to get him out of here. Get what you can. Let's sell high, you know, and in essence, that's what the Magic have done.
Yeah, true. Right.
I can take the emotion out of it. You know, you sold high. You had a 30-year-old guy that made another all-star team. And maybe this was the peak in Jeff and John's mind that, all right, if we're going to do this reset, now's the time. We're breaking 2/3 of the core gone. And let's just go do it all the way. And this is at the height of what we can get for Vooch. But we have these same fans now saying that, like, we need to retire jerseys, get rid of the Magic Hall of Fame. They need to have number nine in the rafters. And I'm not saying I disagree. Like, you know, but at some point, maybe we do look back and go, yeah, like, Nick Vucevic was one of the top. You could argue it now. He's one of the top five players in
that. Absolutely.
Right. So what is jersey in the rafters? I mean, I'm not going to do it tomorrow.
Right.
You know, but it's amazing how the mindset of the fans sometimes can shift. And, you know, it's just a rough day for everybody that's involved with the team, whether it's Jeff, John, the four, the players, the fans. It's an emotional time, especially when you've done what we've done. And sort of torn it all down a little bit, and you know what it lies ahead a little bit, and it could be some tough times. But you know what, Dante, the beauty of sports is that we're gonna have a new season next year, right?
Yeah,
guys, and maybe Allison and Olivia will bring an O to school for Okiki. You know,
that's exactly right. Oh, absolutely.
Maybe they'll bring an R to school for RJ.
Absolutely right.
These things always shift and they always move forward. And you got to look at, okay, all right, listen, like Chuma Okeke, the last four games since he's been there, like that's a kid that's a completely different kid than we saw in December that we're seeing now in March. So you see these younger guys. And listen, those are the guys, if you're a Magic fan, now these are the guys you're going to latch on to. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, they're really, really young. They're really young, and they have a chance to be really good. They do. They really do. And so, you know, it is going to be fun. I mean, that is part of the fun of being a sports fan and watching your favorite team is to see the development of players and to watch your franchise grow. So, you know, we are going to get a chance to do that again. And you know, I think the point that Weltman and Hammond were making was, The goal is to win a championship, right? The goal is not to just make the playoffs, which we knew we were going to be a playoff team when Isaac and Fultz came back. I mean, we would be a playoff team. Could we win a championship? And I think the answer was no. We have to all agree the answer was no. That group was not going to win a championship. Something drastic had to happen, which likely was not going to happen. So now we have a chance to build something that, you know, the ceiling is an NBA championship.
But you've got some young guys, you got a lot of draft capital, and you got, you know, it's interesting, two guys that they were looking at on draft night, Wendell Carter Jr. and RJ Hampton, they now have, you know, so they got to take the, you know, the other guy that they felt was the best pick at that time. And then you get the other guy you were mulling over that time as well. And you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It doesn't have to take 6 years to get back to the playoffs like the last one. I'll be fine if it takes sooner to get back back to the postseason. But you got draft capital and you got some young guys that we can now watch develop.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. It really was to watch the guys come in off the bench against the Lakers and see a little bit of the explosion that RJ Hampton has. That, you know, you can see the potential there. Wendell Carter, we've seen him before and know that he is he has a chance to be a really good player. But, you know, Hampton at his stage of his career, he hasn't played any NBA basketball. I thought what he did in his debut against the Lakers was pretty exciting. You have a 20-year-old that by all accounts coming out of high school was one of the top four or five players in the country. So you get him in that trade, which is, you know, that's something that we can really get excited about, I think, for the future.
Dante, for our listeners who may not have had a chance to catch your comments on the broadcast, your conversation was with Mike Miller was very enlightening.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding.
Yeah. It was interesting to me. You guys saw the report that he'd worked out with R.J. Hampton before the draft. And so I reached out to Mike and he sent me just a glowing report. And George, you might not have seen it because you're with the team.
We covered it. I didn't see it
last night, but he said, first of all, and he put in all caps, great kid, great family. That was the first comment, first of all. And he said, elite work ethic and has elite NBA speed and athleticism. Says he will be a great three-point shooter in this league. The foundation is there. The mechanics are there. And then he put in all caps, has star all over him. And he said, I think he's going to blow up in Orlando. So that's his feeling. And that's a guy that's a, 17-year NBA veteran, two-time NBA champion, and now a state champion in high school. He coaches Germantown, Tennessee, Houston High School. They would just won a state championship. So to me, that's a guy that understands talent. And you got a 6'4 point guard with great size. And if the shooting mechanics are there and he has the work ethic, there's a lot to like about that youngster.
Well, on draft night, I tend to, as our pick is coming up, like I have an idea of who's in our range, if these three guys are there, we're going to have to pick between them. So I'm mad because I had an RJ Hampton draft night release. It was done. It was finished. I had a bio all set. And then when we didn't pick him and we chose Cole Anthony, I put it in my, I put it in the trash bin because I didn't need it anymore. And I was ticked at myself for not keeping that one because it made me fall over again when we traded for him the other night. So, but he's definitely a guy that was on Jeff and John's radar for years. It is amazing. The next time we end up having one of those guys on, the tracking of these guys, we've talked about it with them before and Matt Lloyd. I mean, they've been watching RJ Hampton for a long time. And so he's definitely a kid that has been on their radar and one that they've coveted. And now it's going to be exciting to watch him, we watched him progress even last night against the Lakers a little bit from his limited time he was getting with Denver. So it'll be, that's one thing I'm definitely looking forward to over the next couple of months.
Yeah, I am too. I got it from a good source with the Nuggets that they did not want to make him part of the deal. That was, they really wanted Aaron Gordon, which I think that's a great move for them too, by the way. That's a good fit for what they're trying to do at this time. But, Hampton was not one they wanted to give up.
Well, we'll get to watch him. We know what Otto Porter is. We know what Gary Harris are, right? These are guys that, we know what they can do. Otto Porter's a great three-point shooter. We don't know what the future is for either of those guys. But I think lastly, Jeff, I think it'd be interesting to hear from you on what can Wendell be? Like, this was, again, R.J. Hampton, top five guy coming out of high school. So was Wendell. I mean, this guy is a very accomplished high school player. He went to Duke, one and done guy. He's just exploding with potential, and he's only 21. What can he be? What do you think he will be working on?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Dante, to kind of follow it. You never know. I mean, you watch a guy like in college. I remember watching him at Duke. He had some good players around him as well. And then watch him a little bit when we played against the Bulls, the times that he was healthy. And then watching him against the Lakers a little bit, I just watch the game probably a little different than most fans. I'm watching footwork. I'm watching just natural movement, how you separate yourself on pick and rolls and things, and all the tools, all the fundamentals are there. I was always taught that doesn't matter who starts games, what the coach is thinking by who finishes games. And Wendell was on the floor at the end of that Laker game. Right. So he was doing some things, my initial judgment, I felt like, well, Cliff, and his staff are seeing the same things because he's still on the floor. I thought he made just good hands, made some a couple of deflections, some tough rebounds, defensively. All those things I like. The offensive side of the game, I think I think the fresh start for him with a new, because a lot of times as a player, you're in a situation and everybody will make a judgment about you early on. You know, this is what you are. And sometimes when you get a chance to get to another team where people haven't been around you a little bit, maybe now the things that you have been working on, hopefully, you can kind of expand that on your on the offensive side of the basketball. So, you know, he pulled up the other night. I guess the Lakers and pulled up for a 3-point, you know, from David and I's viewpoint on our little, as we call them, 13-inch monitors, the form and everything looked pretty good. You know, I mean, there was nothing's broken there. It's just, you know, the opportunity to spend the time to do it. I mean, he's been encouraged to do it, but if you're not really, it takes a few years. We saw that with Vooch, right? We saw it takes a few years to get to the point where you're comfortable doing that as a big, because it's not something you've done your whole career. So I really liked what I saw of him and just, you know, starting to understand his background a little bit more as you do a little bit more, as David says, a deep dive on him.
Right.
You know, you're at a place, I'm at a place where I'm really intrigued by what he could become.
You know, when you look at that, he hasn't been a 3-point shooter, but he's what, 36% this year? And he would be in the top five already on our roster. So he can only get better, right? So the ceiling continued to develop, continue to grow. All right, guys. Well, this has been therapeutic for me, guys.
Do you feel better?
I think this has been therapeutic for Dante. He had that one run that he went off about 5 minutes. It made me feel better.
He got out some Dwight Howard stuff too, which is
good. Do you have any
Tracy McGrady stuff like stored up that you want to get out too?
None. I find no fault with Tracy McGrady.
Okay.
Zero.
I wanted to make sure
I have no fault with Dwight. We got to go to an NBA Finals because of that guy.
Yeah.
But I dreaded the end of games. I hated it. We'd go in the locker room. Now at the end of games, I'm on the air. We only got a few minutes before we catch the bus, right? It's imperative to get those guys.
Yeah.
And every one of those guys made themselves available. But no, that was a waiting game. That was
the demand's been a lot less, by the way, Dante.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
A lot less. So it wasn't keep that in mind too.
It wasn't Serge Ibaka like, but it was close. but it was close. All right, guys. This has made me feel better. Hopefully you guys feel better. Hopefully Magic fans feel better and you understand a little bit about the direction, and now let's go cheer on these young guys and see what happens here in the future. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad. And again, this podcast is brought to you by Kia, official vehicle of the Orlando Magic. Next week, we have D Brown, so don't miss that one. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.